not going to get away with anything. I hope you know that. You are not going to get away with anything. There's a man or woman out there right now who is dissing a fellow member of the body of Christ. And you think that because we're under grace that you're going to get away with it. You're not. You're not going to get away with it. And that's actually my evangel to you. That's good news, because it's part of the good news of the evangel of God's grace. Yes, grace received by us through the agency of the Apostle Paul. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. I feel like starting this show talking about the dais of Christ. What does this have to do with Hebrews? Nothing. The dais of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. I'm going to start reading here. And I want you to know that those who have done you wrong and those to whom you have done wrong will answer for it. Now, this is not judgment. This is not punishment. It is remedial in nature. It is beneficial. We're going to be made aware of things. We're so dull, and we don't understand what we do and why we do it. We have so many deep-seated motives that spring from our childhood. And everything is going to be made manifest at the dais of Christ. You know, I've often fantasized about watching a movie of my life. Well, that's going to happen at the dais of Christ. And there are so many things about ourselves that are hidden from ourselves, except for me, of course. I know everything about myself, and my life is transparent to myself. I'm the best judge of myself. None of that's true. And you are not the best judge of yourself. And so everything's going to be made manifest at the dais of Christ. This is a Greek word, dais. It's erroneously translated judgment seat in the King James Version. It's a raised platform, like the Olympic Games, when the medalists receive their medals, namely gold, silver, and bronze. They stand on a dais or a platform. We are all going to be presented to Christ. Now, we don't come into judgment because we're justified. We're in the body of Christ, and yet we're still taking baggage with us, and we have to be made aware of things. Some people are going to get this more than other people. Some people are seriously screwed up, seriously in the dark about themselves and the motives, why they do things, also known as motives. And so this is going to be made manifest. And even the Apostle Paul is going to be presented at the dais of Christ. He himself said, I am not aware of anything as concerning myself. But that doesn't mean that a whole garbage bag full of stuff is going to be presented and dealt with at the dais. And this is good, because we're about to enter into eternity with one another. And we want to live peaceably with one another, and we're going to. It doesn't always happen here on earth, because as I like to say, sometimes the ways of this earth are like a bad Lucy show. When everybody's confused about everybody else, everybody has misunderstandings, and you really gut through the Lucy show or the Dick Van Dyke show or the Mary Tyler Moore show, any of those great shows in the old days where everybody misunderstands each other until the final segment of the show when everything's resolved, and by that time you have an ulcer. And we get ulcers here on this planet because we don't understand each other. Well, you got to. That's why Paul says, you know, judgment is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So you got to leave it to him. And in the meantime, you just try to overlook the faults of others. This is hard to do when everybody else is wrong and you're right. So it's really hard to do, but it's the only thing that belongs to peace is to overlook. You know, love does not take into account wrongs. I've really experienced this. It's miraculous when it happens. 1 Corinthians 13 something. At love, when Paul goes, it's the love chapter. Paul tells about all those things that characterize true love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the first one. Love, joy, peace, patience. Love is not an emotion. My gosh, forget that. You know, you want to fall in love with somebody and you're looking for emotions? No, love is a decision to treat someone better than yourself and to seek their presence simply because they are who they are. No, I take that back. That's fondness. Love, it's a different Greek word. Love is wanting to be with somebody simply because you are who you are, and you are a person who loves, and you love unconditionally. And it doesn't depend, this is agape, it doesn't depend on the worthiness of the object. And love seeks to be with its object. This is the ultimate. This is of God. This is love. And we want this as a fruit of the Spirit. You can't force it. Anybody who's seen my video, there's certain people you can't love. That's the title of it, in which I try to love Joel Osteen, and I just can't work it up in the flesh. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, it comes from the Spirit. You can't work it up. You can't decide. But I just contradicted myself, because it's the absolute and the relative. Absolutely, love comes from God. That's the absolute source. But relatively, I'm sitting here thinking that you can decide to love certain people. And if it works, I'll say this, if it works, remember I tried it in the video. I tried to work up a love for Joel Osteen and I couldn't do it. All right. So that means that the Spirit of God was not ready to lay on me the Spirit of love. But if I make a decision to love someone and it works, there's a click, click, and suddenly this person could be the most heinous, disagreeable, ugly things, and I still want to be with that person. I see that person's weakness, and I, in a way, want to nurture them through it. Then that is the true love of God. Because the love of God, again, agape, does not take into account the worthiness of its object. That's the word agape. There's another Greek word, philia. It means, well, it's translated in the Concordant version, fondness. This is a fondness based on the worthiness of the object. That is, if you do good to me, I'm going to do good to you. Agape love blows this away, because this is how irrational, humanly speaking, agape love is. Agape love loves its enemies. Agape love gets a gob of spit in the face and still loves, still wants to nurture and to cherish. This is the love of a man for his wife. And the wife can scorn him. The wife can leave him. The wife can lie about him. The wife can divorce him. The wife can hold him up to infamy. And he still loves her. That is irrational. It is the love of God. It can be and often is rejected, because the person rejecting it doesn't know what they're doing. Like Jesus on the cross. I know, here comes my Messiah complex again. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. And so many people, even in the body of Christ, but certainly without the body of Christ, don't know what they're doing. They don't understand their own motives. Like there's a lyric from the what's the group I've been listening to lately, Band of Skulls, and there's a great song called Death by Diamonds and Pearls, and I love one of the lyrics. I listen to it as I go round and round on the YMCA track. She grew up in a nice neighborhood, but it didn't do her no good. That reminds me of certain people. She grew up in a nice neighborhood, but it didn't do her no good. And there's so many influences on people that are unaccountable by the people themselves. And so this must be born with patience, which is, by golly, another fruit of the Spirit. That's the fourth one. Love, joy, peace, patience. And let me tell you something about peace while I'm on this topic. Going to get back to the dais of Christ. Lots of stuff's going to happen there. It's going to be the first place we arrive at upon being snatched away. Peace? I don't consider myself to have peace. Life is up and down for me. It's a roller coaster ride of one day feeling good and another day feeling like I can't wait to get off this planet. So I can't really tell you with great honesty that I'm at peace, but I can tell you this, and this is the key. I'm at peace with not being at peace. That is the most profound spiritual truth I have come upon in these 30 years of studying God's Word. To be at peace with not being at peace, and to be joyful with not being joyful. In other words, accepting the fact that as the famous Jack Nicholson movie, As Good As It Gets, sometimes in this life, it's as good as it gets. That you have to be at peace with not being at peace. Otherwise, you're expecting perfection of yourself. You might as well join the Christian religion, which assumes that since you take the name of Christ, you have to walk around like a robot with a smile plastered on your face. That's not the way life is. And all I have to do to find that out is look to Jesus Christ, who was depressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sometimes all of life seems like the Garden of Gethsemane. So really, I take it back. I didn't give myself enough credit. I actually am peaceful. I do have the fruit of the Spirit, that is peace, because I'm at peace in this arena of non-peace. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For all of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ, the raised platform of Christ, that each should be requited. Tricky concordant word there, requited. Not judged. We're going to be repaid. Requited is to be repaid, to get reward for the bad things for the good things we've done, and to have the bad things we've done surgically excised so that they don't burden us anymore and don't weigh us down, because again, we're about to embark upon at this point an eternity with each other, and these things will need to be adjusted. So we must all be manifested in front of the dais of Christ, that each should be requited for that which he or she puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. So we all have obviously done good, and we have all obviously done bad. And at the dais of Christ, the light bulb is going to come on, and we're going to see, oh, okay, I see where I blew that. And I've asked Jim Corum this one time. I said, is the dais going to hurt? And the answer is, well, no, because at that time, we're going to be immortal. We're going to be made immortal at the moment we're snatched away. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And so in that state of spiritual maturity, finally, we're going to have the Spirit without measure as our Lord had when he was on earth. We're going to be able to take it. And so it's going to be a relief to come to a realization of all the bad things we've done. Those things are going to be gone. And then it's going to be an amazing rush of spiritual power and glory to be rewarded for our labors, especially those who labor in the word, who have suffered evil for the sake of the evangel. We are going to be rewarded. And so we are working toward that, and we don't want to have a lot burned up. Some of us will have a lot burned up, but that's okay, because in the end, we're going to be full of the Spirit of Christ, and this is a necessary adjustment for each of us. And I'm looking forward to it, because like David, who was asked, do you want to be judged by me? God asked him this, or do you want to be judged by man? And David said, I'll be judged by God. You know, as hard as that might be, God is much more, much abler to do the right thing than man is, and I'll be judged by God anytime. However, again, at the dais of Christ, it's not judgment, because we do not enter into judgment. We've passed out of judgment because we've been justified, but it is an adjustment. It is a setting aright of misunderstandings, of problems, of emotional traumas, and I look forward to that. You should look forward to that. Because the one who is going to be executing it, that's a bad word, the one who is going to be doing it is Jesus Christ. He is our justifier, not our condemner. There's no way you're going to be condemned at the dais of Christ. It's all justification. It's all good. Trust him.